Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, Leroy Jenkins. Oh, wait, I'm John Johnston. That's some other dude. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, and semi-unintelligent people arguing with one another at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me, Jack.
Yay.
I wish people could see, like, the conversations that happen right before the show starts.
I'm glad they don't.
I'm going to do the thing. Are you doing the thing? No, I'm going to do the thing. Well, anyway. So we've got a great show lined up with Greg Elefritz.
The best show.
The best. A huge show.
Huge show.
It's the greatest show ever. Now, anyway, it'll probably be okay. But, hey, before we get to that, Jack, guess what?
What's that, John?
This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 Night Vision Goggle to the IR Patrol Thermal Monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander off. I don't know what he does. TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC, now with financing. Own or finance the night. Yay. What? So anyway, I'm going to stop talking because we've got Greg Elefritz. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, John?
Oh, I can't complain. Wait, we just did this. This is like deja vu. Well, we didn't do it on air. Wow, I haven't had enough coffee yet. So, the world seems to be a crazy place, and everyone's asking me all sorts of questions about mobs and riots and stuff like that. We're going to talk about that today, maybe some other stuff. But for those that have not heard your past appearances on the show, can you just say who you are and what you do, and we'll go from there?
Sure. I'm Greg Elefritz. I've been a police officer for 21 years in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio. I own active response training and teach classes all around the country, firearms, medical stuff, knife stuff, impact weapons, a little bit of everything. And relevant to this discussion, I have a real passion for third world travel. I've traveled to somewhere around 43 different countries, and I spend about 6 weeks a year living in third world countries. So when you talk about riots and civil unrest, I've seen my fair share of it.
So I got to ask, man, what I mean, we'll get into the part that I don't know, maybe people would be more interested in this, but what got you into traveling all these different places and stuff?
Just looking for adventure, stuff that I can't find in the United States, climbing mountains and, you know, doing crazy whitewater rafting and living with Amazonian tribes in the jungle, all kinds of crazy stuff that you just can't find around here.
Huh. Makes sense, I guess. I'm so boring or old or something. So I guess my first question is, what do you think is of most concern for us, you know, the armed citizen, or at least the defense-minded citizen, when people start talking about, you know, all these things? There's protests all over, there's stuff like that, but what do you think people should actually be worried about, or what is the issue, I guess?
I think there's two real big issues that most people find themselves getting in trouble with regard to protests or some type of civil unrest. One is just stumbling into some type of a large protest, some type of a riot. And the second is intentionally showing up at an area where there's a riot or protest to see what's happening and staying too long and getting caught up in the violence. Both of those situations can be remedied with a little bit of forethought, but people all the time aren't paying attention to the news, aren't paying attention to social media, and they end up driving into an area where there's a roadblock, putting them in a whole lot of risk, or they want to be the latest, greatest YouTube sensation and film the protest and end up getting shot or beaten because they're in an area that they really shouldn't be.
Well, so let's hit that from two parts. I guess to speak to your latter part, don't go stupid places with stupid people and do stupid things.
Or that's it.
Though a lot of the really fun stuff happens at those places with stupid
right.
people.
As William April says, you know, I really like me some stupid people. So
yeah.
Sometimes it's unavoidable.
Well, you know, like you do. to the first part, though, and the producer, you guys couldn't hear it because it was just in my headphones, but he's like, how do you stumble on a protest? Can you address that a little more in depth? Because a lot of people, I think, when they hear you say that, are going to go, well, I would never do such a thing. And it's probably easier than you would think, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I've seen several instances in the news just in the last couple of days with protesters blocking roadways, big roadways that people use to get home from work or home from school or do their shopping. They're just driving along, and all of a sudden they find themselves in a situation where traffic has stopped. And now their vehicle is locked into place. They can't move. They can't escape. And there's massive horde of people in the street protesting, some violent, some not. But it puts them into a really bad spot because even if they want to escape, they're blocked in.
So I guess if we'll address that concern first, if you find yourself in that situation, do you have any suggestions or recommendations, or what's been your experience?
The most important thing is avoiding the situation.
Right.
You know, pay attention to your social media. Do a little Google search on the news right before you leave if you're in any area where these things tend to happen. Oftentimes these protests are planned and they're public, and if you can avoid them, by all means do so. Know a couple of different routes away from your home and from your place of work so that you don't get stuck in an area where there's some type of a protest or riot going on. Beyond that, leaving yourself an out and paying attention while you're driving. Don't be texting. Don't be talking on the phone. Pay attention to what's going on and leave plenty of space between your car and the car in front of you at any type of stoplight so that you can maneuver and get out if you need to. The best opportunity that you have to escape these kind of situations is at the very start, as soon as it happens, and getting away immediately. Don't let denial take over. Oh, this is just a couple people crossing the street. It's not going to be a big deal. That may be the case, but it may also be a violent riot, and your best option is just get away as soon as possible. Once you get caught in it, your options become very limited, especially if you're in a car.
So speaking to that point, do you think people are too reliant on their GPSs to navigate them from point A to point B these days?
Maybe not. I don't know. I think most of us in our common drives, the stuff we do every day, we know those routes and we don't use our GPS. The people that I see getting caught up in these kind of things aren't people from out of town. They aren't traveling. They aren't using GPS. They're just driving on roads they normally drive on every day, and just so happens that that road was chosen to be the site of a protest. So I don't know if it's the GPS or not. I think there's, in general, a lot of people aren't paying attention to what they need to be paying attention to because of some type of electronic device in the car, whether it's a GPS, whether it's their phone, texting, or watching some DVD on the movie screen. I see lots of people not paying attention to what's going on. I think that's a bigger problem.
Well, yeah, and I know Jack's got a question, but we've only got about a minute left in this segment, so hold that thought, Jack.
Will do.
All right. And now I have to fill the next 40 seconds. So, just real quick, do you think folks should just put the phone down, just not have it anywhere near them in the car unless they need to access it?
I think so. I think that's the best solution. Besides keeping aware of your surroundings, it'll also keep you out of car crashes.
Okay, cool. We're talking with Greg Elifritz from Active Response, and right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. To Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry guns shouldn't have to be either. Sig Sauer gives you choices, and with more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a Sig Sauer that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, to the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022. Sig Sauer makes a model that's right for you. Just don't ask for a Callahan full-bore auto-lock. They don't make that yet. Sig Sauer, when it counts. So I wonder, Jack, I feel like I might need to take Firefly references out of the show.
You know, there are people that are... I just saw people using Firefly quotes to support big government, and I had a solid cry. Like, I was like...
I'm like...
Why?
You just watched this because you thought it was cool. We watched it before it was cool. Wait. Oh.
I did buy a brown coat, though, so.
Wow, there you go. How's it feel to be the old hipster, Jack?
Sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Anyway, we're talking with Greg Elifritz. Greg, before the break, you had a question for Greg,
well,
didn't you, Jack?
Or it's something I want to add on to what he was talking about with GPS. I happen to be involved in several groups that talk about online security and things like that. And one of the big problems with GPS systems right now is they're user generated. So users tell you where there are problems, but the system can't check all of those. So if a group is dedicated to funneling people towards an area for a protest, what it looks like they're about to start doing is start generating reports that are incorrect to create sort of a GPS funnel. How those systems works are interesting, but they're very valuable. So knowing how to get someplace without your GPS is a really smart call right now with where it looks like things are going.
I hadn't even thought of that. Greg, have you considered that?
Yeah, I've recently become really fond of using the app Waze, which is a navigation app on the phone that has user-generated reports.
Right.
Tells you where the police are set up, tells you where there's traffic jams, all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, my gut feeling is it may be useful for those kind of things if people are reporting, hey, there's a protest, traffic jam, something like that. But it's certainly prone to being hacked in the way that Jack describes.
Huh. And I'm... I want to ask the question. So when you use Waze, do you report yourself to get the extra points? But you don't need to answer that on air.
I know a cop who has Waze just so he can constantly tell people that's not where he's sitting. Like all he does is post screen caps of like, stop giving me away.
Jeez. Anyway, this is gonna spin off into a completely separate conversation. And it's going to get out of hand. And no, anyway, I'm not going to quote Red October. Jack's very confused. So anyway, so you've traveled a lot in third world countries and all that. Is there any commonalities that you see in stuff like this? I mean, we've talked a little bit about how not to find yourself in this situation. But let's say that we've messed up or, you know, events beyond our control have conspired against us and it's just our day. What are the commonalities? What are things to consider if you're in the middle of it?
So some of the worst ones that I were in, I was in there was a concert in Brazil, a free concert on the beach that ended up drawing 600,000 people. And I was right in the middle of it when a huge gang fight broke out.
Shocking.
Cops ended up coming in, beating people with sticks and tear gassing the whole crowd. And it was quite a mess. Another one that I ended up in, I was just walking around doing the tourist thing, checking out some of the big squares in Lima, Peru, and there was a demonstration from striking transport workers. So all the taxi drivers and bus drivers were on strike, and they were all demonstrating in the big square that I was looking to see as a tourist. And the crowd got really violent. The military came in, ended up shooting one person, tear gas and everything else. In both of those situations, as well as a lot of smaller situations that I've seen, there were some warning signs. You kind of see the tempo and the attitude of the crowd change. People smiling, laughing, having fun, and then all of a sudden you don't see those smiles. You start seeing people putting on bandanas over their face, pulling hoodies up over their heads, making themselves less identifiable. When you start seeing those things and then you start seeing the initial happenings of this before violence against people generally start, you start seeing violence against things. People break car windows, flip over cars, bust into stores, those type of things. So when you start seeing indications that the crowd is changing in temperament from one of maybe protest to one of violence, you really need to get out of there as quick as you can. You can't wait around just thinking, oh, somebody's just broken a car window, no big deal. The energy of the crowd feeds off of itself, and when one person starts doing violent things, other people start doing it, and it very quickly gets out of control. But you've got a little bit of warning, and when things start going bad, there's usually a chance to get out. And if you can get out and before it goes absolutely crazy, you have a really good chance. So what I tell people to do in those kind of situations is as soon as things end up going bad, I like to get out, and I do that by getting as close to a wall as possible, out of the middle of the street, on a sidewalk, near a building, so that if things go really bad, I can get my back to the wall and I'm not going to get hit from behind. It also gives me a little bit of room to move. I kind of put my hands out in front of me in kind of a wedge shape and move along the wall, just pushing people out of the way, and just move steadily towards an area where there's no rioting people. You want to avoid just turning around and running, because sometimes that will trigger people to chase you, potentially hurt you. So you don't want to just turn tail and run. You want to walk calmly and quickly to an area where there aren't riots. And oftentimes it's just, you know, a couple hundred yards is the difference between rioting chaos and relative safety.
Now, I have to ask, have you ever gotten caught in one despite your best efforts? Or
I've gotten, you know, that big fight in Brazil was probably the one that I had the most trouble getting out of, just because I was in the middle of a crowd of 600,000 people. You know, it was on a beach. There were no buildings or anything. So I just had to work my way through a crowd. And it was difficult because I ended up, you know, being in the area where the fighting kicked off, and everyone was rushing to that area. They ignored the artists on the stage and were running to see what was going on with the big fight. And so I found myself fighting upstream against a huge wall of 500,000 people. And that was one of the more difficult ones. The rest I've been able to just get out of. As soon as I've seen things starting to go bad, I've gotten out of there and I haven't had any problem. I think if you're alert and you're paying attention to what's going on, opportunities to escape before the serious violence happen are everywhere. And most people are going to be able to get out of it if they have their head up and are looking around and can recognize the signs of things not going so well.
Huh. Going back to the issue of, you know, a blocked roadway or something like that, where you initially start out in your vehicle, I've heard a lot of different stuff, and I'm not gonna comment either way. But is it stay in your vehicle and ride it out? Is it try and get out and get away from your car? Is there a best practice, or does it really depend on what's going on?
I think it's really dependent on the situation. If there is a considerable distance between your vehicle and the actual protesting or rioting people, and you think you can get away from there before the mob reaches you, then escape might be a viable option. You know, if I'm pulled up in a traffic jam and I see a protest a half a mile down the street, if I can get my car pulled over to the side of the road, any place that I feel safe leaving it, and I get out on foot some other direction, that might be okay. But getting out of the car when you are completely surrounded by rioters isn't such a good idea. The car provides some small level of safety. It's certainly not impenetrable, but it's harder for someone to get you inside of the car than outside of the car.
Well, and it seems like, too, is you know, we got about a minute left in this segment. We can talk about this more coming up. But it seems like if things go absolutely horrible and you stay in your car, once it gets to the point where they are actively trying to remove you from your vehicle, it becomes a lot easier to articulate any sort of level of force that you would use.
Absolutely. If they're trying to pull me from my vehicle, I don't think anyone would have any problem with you using a very high level of force or even lethal force to defend yourself from that action. It's reasonable to believe that you're at risk of serious injury or death in that situation. So that would certainly be a good justification for using your firearm or other lethal weapon.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Right now we're talking with Greg Elifritz. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Radio brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. So we're talking with Greg Elifritz about civil unrest and riots and traveling to strange, exotic places. But before the break, Greg, we were discussing, you know, whether or not it was best to stay in your vehicle, you know, try and exit the vehicle and when that would be maybe a good idea. And then we were talking about levels of force and specifically levels of force against individuals trying to remove you from the car. Can you talk just a little bit about why it would be reasonable to assume someone removing you from your vehicle in that situation would warrant deadly force or could warrant deadly force?
The issue is, why would they be removing your from your vehicle other than to cause you some type of a physical injury? You know, when the rioters are breaking windows and dragging people out of their cars, every single person who's drug out is hurt in some way, many of them very seriously. You know, you can take it all the way back to the L.A. riots and Reginald Denny drug out of his semi-truck and beaten it. In those situations, you've got multiple attackers generally. Most of the time, they're younger, stronger, and more fit than the defenders that they are pulling out. They might have weapons, often impact weapons, occasionally firearms and knives. And when you're dealing with a situation of more than one person trying to hurt you seriously by dragging you out of the car, beating you with some type of an impact weapon, you're certainly in the range of territory where it's reasonable to believe that you're going to be seriously injured or killed. So in that situation, you would be justified in using deadly force.
Well, so speaking to that point, and I know that, so Jack posted something on his Facebook page, and it was talking about how to drive through a protest.
Mm-hmm.
At the point where they're trying to remove you from your car and deadly force is legally available to you, the vehicle at that point can be an effective weapon. However, cars don't go through crowds quite the way people think they do they?
No, they really don't. So the first issue is, can you move your car? And, you know, you may be in such a traffic jam that movement or running over those people may not be possible.
Right.
If you are able to move your car, striking people does damage to your car, especially if you hit them hard or at speed. I mean, we've all had situations where we have or our friends have struck a deer on a highway. Well, person's about the same kind of weight as a large deer. You see the damage that's done to the car when you strike a deer. The same thing can happen when striking a person. So hitting someone at super high speeds while driving your car is a good way of disabling your car and putting you into a worse situation. So I think in that situation, if I had the ability to move my vehicle, I would probably move slowly towards a person if necessary and think about kind of bumping them and moving them with the car as a means of escape rather than actually trying to hit them at 50 miles an hour.
Right. And Jack said that same thing and was told that he didn't know what he was talking about. So the internet's a lovely place, isn't it, Jack?
If I had
everybody
the ability.
Gets to have their opinion, whether it's educated or not.
Well,
Jack is right. It's not real smart to hit someone very fast in your car. It's a good way of disabling your vehicle.
So if you're going to drive through it, for people that are just like hitting the notes and whatever, taking notes or hitting the highlights, if for whatever reason you need to move through a crowd of people, slow speed, slow and steady wins the race sort of deal?
Absolutely. Slow speed, doors locked, obviously, windows up. I've broken some windows in some training classes, and I've found that having the window actually cracked a little bit actually makes it harder to break because it's not stabilized on all four sides.
Yep.
So just lowering your window just a quarter or a half of an inch, assuming there's no tear gas or a smoke in the area that's going to get sucked in there, that might make it a little bit harder for that window to break. Seatbelt off, because you might need to escape that vehicle as quickly as possible if it becomes disabled. At slow speeds, you're not likely to be too injured in a crash, so I'd be more worried about either being trapped in the car and unable to escape than I would of needing the seatbelt for restraint in case of a hard impact. So slow and steady, just drive. Don't stop. If you stop, there's a chance that people can jump on your vehicle, disable it somehow. Keep moving, just nice and slow and steady if you've got to get out. Honking the horn would probably be useful as well. You know, eventually this is going to go to court and your actions are going to be judged. And if you can articulate why you believed you needed to actually strike someone with a vehicle to make your escape, I think it would look good on your end in the upcoming trial. I tried to warn them by honking the horn. I wanted them out of the way. I didn't want to actually hit anyone. I wanted to escape. I honked the horn as I drove slowly through, giving them plenty of time to get out of the way. I think that would be evidence on your side in any potential criminal or civil proceedings that happened afterwards.
Right. And it seems like a lot of people don't like to consider the fact that they could do everything, you know, right. And I've got little air quotations around that. And then still have it, after the fact, be a problem for them. So.
Oh, sure. Yes.
In fact, you just wrote an article about
all of these protests, all of these riots are being videotaped. You know, the protesters are filming it, you know, for their own propaganda efforts. Everybody in the world is filming it with their cell phone, trying to put it up on YouTube or WorldStar or something. So the idea that I'm just going to run over a couple people and no one's even going to know I'm there is ridiculous. As soon as you run over one of these protesters, even if the police are their worst enemy at the time, when one of their members gets hurt and it's all over with, they're going to be providing the police with all the video to identify you and your car after the incident and try to get you prosecuted. So the thought that you're just going to make your escape by running over some people and you're not going to have any legal problems down the road is very erroneous.
Well, I guess it doesn't feed into the mindset of
fantasy.
Yeah.
Doesn't feed into the fantasy.
Yeah. I was going to say fantasy, but I didn't want to be as, Jack's just like getting fired up over here because
I had my coffee this morning. Greg's backing me up on being right on the internet. No one says this stuff to my face. I'm just a little uppity. I'm sorry.
Do you want a cookie for being right on the internet?
I want a safe space. That's what I want.
You are your own safe space. So as far as some we haven't talked about, are there any less lethal options that might be of use in situations like this?
You know, on foot, I've always found pepper spray and a handheld flashlight to be very, very useful items in this kind of situation. You know, a lot of the rioters kind of rely on group energy. They don't have individual motivation, and they can often be discouraged by a quick blast of pepper spray if you're surrounded and on foot. Using the light to find your way and as a potential impact weapon is useful as well. You know, when people see other people walking around in a protest situation with a very bright handheld flashlight, they usually assume that person is a police officer. And in general, they'd be a little bit more hesitant to attack because they know police officers carry guns. So on foot, handheld pepper spray, handheld flashlight, both very, very useful. In a car, I have mixed feelings about it. There are pepper spray grenades, and they work very, very well. And I would certainly consider using one in a situation where I was surrounded before I had to start running people over or shooting them. The problem is the application. The grenades that people can buy are not grenades like military grenades that have a 4 or 5 second delay fuse. When you set off a pepper spray grenade, it starts immediately spraying. So you have to be very, very careful not to deploy it until you are clear of the wind and any type of threat. You know, a lot of people will hit the button in their car thinking that there's some kind of delay, then roll the window down and toss it out. And they've ended up filling their car with pepper spray. So those things start spraying immediately, and there's a good chance you're going to get some of it too.
Well, hold that thought, because we've got to go to break. Right now we're talking with Greg Elifritz. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell, "Aziz Light!" ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining a light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now is a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners. You can get 30% off at the Surefire.com web store of everything except suppressors and batteries by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS. That is ALLTHELUMENS, no space. Get you 30% off everything but suppressors and batteries. So check that out. Anyway, we're talking with Greg Elifritz. I'm sorry that I had to interrupt, Greg, but before the break you were talking about pepper spray grenades and how they don't have a delay on them.
Yeah, there's no delay. So there's a real good chance that when you deploy them, you're at least going to get some residual effects by inhaling it in the air. You may not actually get any of the spray on you or in your eyes, but you're probably going to be coughing a little bit when you inhale some of that. The other real concern about that, you're responsible for your actions, and it's tough to know who's going to be incapacitated by that spray. You dump a grenade out your car door, it'll probably clear out the protesters, but it's also going to be drawn into every other car's ventilation system, and if someone crashes their vehicle because they're incapacitated by the pepper spray grenade that you have dropped, that's something that you could be liable for, and additional criminal or civil charges can apply. So there's certainly some advantages. I think it would clear a path for an escape, but there's also some downsides that people need to consider before doing that as well.
If only nine bangers were legal for civilians to buy.
Yes.
We actually just saw recently in Portland, somebody threw a smoke grenade out of their car in an attempt to get the protesters back. They busted open the window and were trying to throw it back into the car when he managed to, like, work his Jeep out and drive away.
Huh.
Yeah,
and
it's
protesters are really good at throwing things back at you, including tear gas grenades.
Yep.
So your little pepper spray grenade may not mean something to a dedicated anarchist.
No.
And, you know, a lot of these protesters, if they're serious and they've been there before, they're wearing gas masks or some kind of improvised gas masks, and the spray may not be effective on them. It will certainly be effective on you, because I don't know many people that are carrying gas masks in the passenger compartment of their car and think to put them on before they drop a couple grenades in a crisis situation.
Jack and I both lifted our eyebrows at the same time and looked at each other.
New piece of kit to add to the vehicle survival supply?
Well,
I already have one.
Yeah.
Me too. It's in the trunk, and maybe I need to consider bringing that one up into the passenger compartment.
Well, that's actually a – here, this is a good question. Whether or not you plan on deploying – at least I think it's a good question. Whether or not you plan on deploying like your own pepper spray grenade, is it safe to assume that there might be some sort of particulate or aerosol that you need to deal with, and maybe a gas mask makes a little bit more sense these days than it did 10, 15 years past?
Yeah, I think so. You know, even if you're not deploying your own, if you're caught in the middle of this, the cops are going to be deploying some type of aerosol agent to disperse the crowd for certain. You know, to say nothing of the fact that the protesters, you know, may be deploying stuff of their own you know, in third world countries, you know, the classic tactic is burning automobile tires in the middle of the road, creating thick smoke to obscure everything. You probably don't want to be inhaling that kind of stuff. So I think it might be a reasonable concern. The problem that you're going to get into is if you're out on foot when that, the cops are going to assume anybody wearing a gas mask and not wearing a uniform are part of the agitation crowd.
Yeah.
And that may not go real well for you.
Huh. Well, it's almost like there's pluses and minuses to almost everything you do
crazy.
In life.
It's true. People don't consider those facts.
We got a couple minutes left in the show, probably another four or five, or Joe's about to, three and a half. We have 3.5 minutes left in the show. Let's talk about what you've got going on, Greg, and where people can find out more about you or how they can interact with you.
You can get a hold of me through my website. It's Active Response Training, all one word, activeresponsetraining.net. I do a lot of writing there. I try to write 3 or 4 tactical articles a week. So there's a large backlog of information, many articles covering this very topic. If you go to the search bar of my website and type in riot, you'll get a whole bunch of articles about this topic. I've got a couple more classes this year. Both of my remaining classes this year are at TDI. I've got a 3-day field medicine class next weekend and a 2-day knife class coming up. So that'll round out my training year.
Awesome. And for those who don't know, I mean, you know, and I'm sure people assume if I have someone on the show, but I can't recommend Greg as a trainer enough. You really take an interesting look at things. And I think your perspective is a little bit, I was going to say skewed, but that has a negative connotation.
Experienced?
Yeah, a little different than, you know, some of the other trainers out there.
Oh, real quick. One song before you go into a riot, what would it be?
Oh. I don't know. I probably want something peaceful and mellow. You know, just to, I don't want to agitate the crowd anymore. I just want to calm myself. And when people see that you're calm and aren't worked up, they get a little bit off put. They don't know how to deal with that. So I'd probably listen to, you know, some kind of mellow trance type music. I'd be right along there with Claude Warner listening to some mellow EDM right before I hit the riot.
I'm just smiling right now. Well, and see, I was going to make a I'd listen to the Dio version of Mob Rules, but that's just me. Because Dio's better than Ozzy, Jack.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. All right, Greg, I really appreciate you taking time out to talk to us, man.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no worries, dude. I'll talk to you later. Be safe, brother, okay?
Thanks.
All right. Hey, guys, make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. We occasionally give free stuff away there. And keep leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes. It really helps us out. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.